have not finished races well in the past are going to do it today. Here they come another time.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the
F1 fan for years.
F1Weekly.com podcast.
We're going to do tire changes maybe next year. I think we can.
Hi, this is Desiree. I'm your fabulous, fierce female Formula One fan.
Fisichella, bravo!
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 676, April 28th, 2015. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Hello and welcome to all. Good to be back on the digital airwaves. And today we have a double serving from Chinese fondue to Bahraini falafel, and Nico is still hungry for a win.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Nico down, Kimi up. Will Red Bull pull out? Can you imagine no Italian Grand Prix? And the host wins the 2015 Snowball Rally. Stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King. We have Tech Talk with Tim, and we have 50 words on the Chinese and Bahrain Grand Prix from the F1 Weekly Familia Forum members. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. And, you know, it's been a while since we did our last podcast, but I would like to assure all the folks, the family members, that we will be getting back to normal frequency with the Spanish Grand Prix.
Exactly, yes. Obviously, I had to go back to Florida to help my mother, and that took a couple of weeks out of the schedule. Then I had to do the Snowball Rally as soon as I got back from Florida. So we've been busy, happy bees in the beehive.
Now, did you do a Lewis Hamilton in the Snowball Rally win from pole position?
Well, when it comes to rallying, I lobed it.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. No, it was fun. Of course, you don't win by really finishing first. You win by a vote of your peers having the most machismo car, the machismo attitude, the enthusiasm, the passion, and the motivation.
Well, in that case, why they even hold the rally? Because you're a winner before the rally starts.
That is only in your eyes, Nasser.
Oh.
So, no, I'm excited. I know it's been about 3 weeks since the, the Chinese Grand Prix. Well, let's put it this way. It's pretty much Lewis Hamilton's year, isn't it?
Oh, it is. That's for sure. Four races, four poles, one second place, and three wins. Who could ask for anything more?
Boy, and, you know, unless Nico Rosberg finds his mojo when we get to España, he's in a heap of trouble.
Well, I thought before the Bahrain Grand Prix and after the Chinese race, I thought he had lunch with Jean Alesi because he was showing quite a bit of new motivation in Bahrain.
Yeah, but the problem is Jean Alesi had lots of motivation, but not very many wins.
Yeah, he got one on his birthday and that's all she wrote.
Yes, oh Canada. It's sort of sad because he was so close last year and now it's drifting away.
Yeah.
And I don't even think we're going to see his father attending too many races this season.
Yeah, not the way things are going.
No, but who knows? At least we know Kimi's on his way back.
Oh, you sure now?
Well, that's what it looks like. That's what the talk is in town.
Yes, very good.
Yes, apparently he's adapting very well to Sebastian Vettel. And apparently the car was built for Kimi Raikkonen. That's what they said in Maranello. So all this was expected over there. They're expecting more. And I'm glad to see at least somebody fighting Mercedes, even though Mercedes still seems at least a second quicker.
Yeah. Still, it's still their championship to lose at this stage.
Absolutely. So I heard you went to Europe.
Yes. You know, Clark, I took a quick trip this time. I had a lot of ideas to plan my trips, but just had to, you know, cut it down to a week. But I had a great time, and it's all thanks to members of F1 Weekly Familia. The trip was brief but very productive and highly, highly enjoyable. And you know, the interesting part is the festivities started in Amsterdam, where our listener, longtime listener, Mr. Louis Janssen, was kind enough to meet me at the airport with his, now we have a Dutch European support vehicle also, in this case, a mighty fine Porsche 944. And I'm going to tell you something, man. You know, he said we'll go to the, we'll do a lap of the 14.2-mile long Nordschleife, which we did. But, you know, the lap in this car was far more exciting than I expected. And what the most impressive part was, the faster we went, the more this car hugged the road. And, you know, now I know why a Porsche is so popular with racing folks. Very, very impressive vehicle, I must say. And the thing that really stood out for me was the number of blind spots at the Nürburgring. And we were not going like racing speed, but still fast enough where I would not, you know, yell and scream. And like all classic circuits, there is very little runoff area. And frankly, I'm surprised with having so many blind spots that this track has not seen far more accidents than what we hear about. So that was quite an eye-opener for me. And then, you know, it was an incredible feeling to have this experience at a track which was Fino Fangio's last Grand Prix win. Tazio Nuvolari won here in an Alfa Romeo. I think it was 1935. And then among recent history, Jackie Stewart won here in 1968 in a very wet race by over 4 minutes in his Matra Cosworth. And I was reading about this race, 1968 German Grand Prix at the Nürburgring, and looks like this was the race where we saw the first use of a full-face helmet in a Formula One race. And that driver was Mr. Dan Gurney from Newport, California. And he finished ninth in his Eagle Wesley. I know you've traveled to Europe many times. Have you ever been to the Nürburgring?
No, I've never have.
Would you like to go someday?
Yes, I would love to go. Right now, it's not possible, but maybe one day. Let's just say it's on the bucket list.
That's on the, yes. And what you do is hop on a KLM flight to Amsterdam, and I'm sure Mr. Louis Janssen, actually, he has extended his invitation anyway. He'll be very glad to take you there. Fantastic track, fantastic experience. You know, it was surprisingly a very busy day at the track. A lot of fans taking their vehicle from Subaru to SUVs. And not surprisingly, many cars were right-hand drive with English license plate. And my very sincere thanks to Louis again for inviting me. And also he gave me a tour of Amsterdam, and starting with the red light district, which I guess is the most popular spot when people go to Amsterdam. And I have a few friends who have been there, and that's the first thing they always mention to me. Have you been to Amsterdam, sir?
Yes, two or three times.
Your wife is Dutch, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Vliegerflugel.
There you go. And they have a very nice area where they have all the museums, you know, Rembrandt, Van Gogh, this and that. So I told him, man, this is so impressive. I have to come back soon to go to these museums. Very impressive city. And what I really like, one morning we had breakfast by one of the canals. And, you know, they have a lot of canals there. And obviously it was probably built 200 years ago or even more. But that to me was a very, very Dutch breakfast and fantastic experience.
Well, I'm glad it all worked out, Nasser. Once again, F1 Weekly and the family help you out all over the globe.
As they always do. And of course, you know, I told Louis that if he's ever in US of A, where I am or where you are, it will be our pleasure to, you know, drive him around and you know, treat him to fine cuisine like in-flight burrito.
In-flight burrito or the Ortega burger.
Oh, yes. At the Flames restaurant. There you go. So have you been to Flames lately, talking of Flames?
It doesn't exist anymore. It literally went up in flames.
Oh, wow. But they had one on Winchester Avenue also.
Oh, that's true. I forget. And I occasionally have breakfast there with some of my few friends that are left in my life.
Well, I hope I'm still one of them, even though I'm not in Cali.
You are one of the few friends I have in the world.
Yeah, that's very good. And, you know, the party and family affair continued as the second part of the journey took me to another classic track from days gone by, with a very rich history, including one from 1993, and that, of course, being Donington. and the F1 Weekly Familia reunion, we had the usual suspects, Mr. Brazier and Dr. Farrington, and we were joined by Adrian, who was also with us at Spa in 2013, and of course, a serious Formula One and motorsports fan. He came to the Donington round of BTCC, which is, of course, British Touring Car Championship, and MSA Formula, which is the new Formula 4 being pushed by FIA, with his lady friend, Miss Silke, and she is from Aachen, Germany, and also a serious and very passionate fan of motor racing. So it just was a very great, the trip was brief, but just a very, very rich in experience, and we had a fantastic time.
Well, good for you. I certainly hope that Mr. Brazier and Dr. Farrington are doing well.
Yeah, everybody's doing well, and I think one of these days we have to have some sort of a get-together with the host of F1 Weekly at Donington or Hockenheimring.
Now, I think that's a swell idea, Nasser.
And talking of races, are you going to Austin?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry, until the cars sound like Formula One cars, I want to keep my memories fresh of V10s and V8s, and it is what it is.
And, you know, I'm so glad you said that. It's because of this issue, I'm now seriously thinking of maybe using my time and resources to go to places where I really need to go before I kick the bucket. And one of the places I really want to go is Sicily and to drive around the Targa Florio track. Because as a kid, I used to read a lot of stuff about this track, all in the same book, but I read it like 10 times in a week, you know.
That's a good idea.
So, let's talk briefly about the two races that we missed, the Chinese Grand Prix, LCH Hanghem Hai in Shanghai.
Yes, I mean, let's face it, outstanding job by Lewis Hamilton at every Grand Prix so far. Pole position, Nico Rosberg in the Chinese Grand Prix was able to get P2. Unfortunately, he's not able to do that in Bahrain. Nico is losing his mojo, and we're concerned. We're concerned with Nico because I thought a couple of years ago he may be a contender for the world championship, but once again, your teammate may have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, but you know, last year, the thing is, this is how I look at it. Last year, he did a very, very impressive job. There was no question about it. Taking more poles than LCH, looked like he had gotten into LCH's under his skin and also in his head. But to blow away a 25-point lead twice in one season, and then lose the championship, then you have to wonder, you know, how good you really are. I mean, think about it this way. You think Rosberg can overcome a 25-point deficit to LCH in the same team and go on to win the championship?
Not this season, no.
Not in any season, Clark.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's my opinion.
But I understand.
Yeah. But, you know, this is how I look at it. If he gets blown away, continues to get blown away by LCH, and I don't see that trend changing, and then Kimi picks up a win, Sebastian Vettel picks up a couple of wins, and then the season ends with LCH 11, 12 wins, and Nico with one or two. That pretty much will kill his, it will not kill his F1 career, but it will kill his F1 career as a number one driver in any competitive team.
Yes, but he certainly can be a fine Rubinho.
Yeah, but you know, UPS is also operating in Monte Carlo in Germany. And you know what they say, no package, no delivery.
Very true indeed. Let's not forget, Williams. We were hoping they would take the big step and take it up to Mercedes. But Ferrari has stopped them cold, haven't they?
No, the Ferrari car looks very good. And, you know, this is where I have hope. The cars are now looking like real cars. So hopefully in a year or two, we'll have the sound also. And I know sound is not important to some people, but people like you and moi, this is what we live for.
Correct. I mean, I've given up acute quality hearing for Formula One. And yeah, if I'm not feeling it, I'm not a happy person. But nevertheless, in the Chinese Grand Prix, we had Sebastian Vettel in third, Felipe Massa fourth, Bottas fifth, Kimi Raikkonen sixth. In the Chinese Grand Prix, he was looking a little Rubinho-ish. Now, really, the biggest disappointment for me is, you know, I think Daniel Ricciardo, who we know is wonderful, great driver, but my God, Renault has really made a mess of things, haven't they?
Yeah, even a rookie like Max Verstappen is saying Renault is a nightmare. That's pretty sad.
It is pretty sad. I don't know what's happened. How could you be on top and drop so fast.
Yeah, and also, you know, after the, you saw the Kablamo that Daniel Ricciardo.
Oh my God. I mean, at least they're doing great Kablamos.
Yeah, and Christian Horner said that I think this engine will be a coffee table in the near future. So they are really pissing down on Renault like they never did anything for them.
Oh, I know. That's how it is. You know, not everybody's is nice to the engine builder that brought you four championships. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty sad, and I wonder where it will stop, you know.
If Renault buys Toro Rosso, Renault doesn't have to supply Red Bull.
I'm sure there are some contractual obligations. Bernie will always step in to make sure that, you know, things don't go out of control. And the thing is, you know, the Toro Rosso and Red Bull, I believe, are the only two teams with Renault engines.
That's correct.
Yeah, you know, if Williams or some other team had and they were doing much better, then they can say, hey, maybe it's your car. And who knows how good or bad that car is.
Right. I know. I mean, it hurts me. You know, I'm a big Renault fan, and for me to watch this is pretty brutal. Yeah. What can you do?
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, these people, they brought turbo technology into Formula One, and this engine rule change did not happen overnight. They knew as long as Mercedes or anybody else. Hey, you know, they can always point to Honda.
I like what I've been reading about Honda. It's a pretty interesting design, and I'm rooting for Honda. I'm waiting for Fernando to get back to the top 10, but it could be a long road.
Well, you know, now he's saying that we might make it to, you know, Q1 or Q2. You know, the singer Nene Cherry, one of your favorites, I'm sure.
Of course.
He had this song called 7 Seconds. And Nando has been singing a song about 4 seconds because he was like 4 seconds away from getting into points in the last race. But, you know, there is a lot of talk and a lot of write-up in media that this Honda thing is going to come alive sooner or later. And I believe in these two people, you know, McLaren and Honda. Something is going to happen in the near future. Positive.
Oh, I completely agree. I'm looking forward to it.
So what do you think about Daniel Ricciardo? You think he's on slippery slope with Dr. Marco?
I think Dr. Marco is more concerned with the Renault package for now, both Toro Rosso and Red Bull. I think they're going to, behind the scenes, they're working with Renault to get this resolved. But this design is just a piece of junk. It is what it is.
You know what I read in one of the interviews with Christian Horner? You know, of course, the development of this engine started a few years back. And he said that they were in touch, they being Red Bull, in touch with Renault. And Renault did not take some of their ideas into consideration. So that has really pissed them off, especially now that the engine is not very fast or even reliable.
I mean, the season's just started, and I think they've gone through their allotment of motors.
Yeah, I think Ricciardo will be on his fourth engine in Barcelona.
Yeah, so that means they're going to be taking penalties pretty soon, and it's going to be at every Grand Prix. So it's hard to win anything that way. Let's just call it the LCH season and be done with it.
Yeah, and that's how it goes sometimes. You know, it's amazing. A few years ago, Sebastian Vettel could not do anything wrong. He could not lose a race if he wanted to. And now it's LCH who has the package.
Yes, it's interesting because LCH was tired of watching Sebastian Vettel win every Grand Prix. And it's funny how things turn around, don't they?
Yeah, and it will be interesting, you know, if LCH can get his third championship. It will be quite an achievement, you know.
It will be quite an achievement. And if he stays with Mercedes, this could go on for years.
I want to see his reaction when he stored UAV equal 8 and Senna's number of wins. I want to see if it gets to him like it got to Michael Schumacher.
Some of that drama, I'm never sure if it's real or sincere.
No, you know, these people are, they may be machismo as much as you are, but, you know, they are human and things do get to you. I'll just give you two examples. Who could be more tougher American than AJ Foyt and Mike Ditka? And when both of them made their announcements to retire, both of them broke down like a kid.
Right.
So it can get to you. And, you know, when you are equaling a name, something feet of Senna at the age of 27, 28, I mean, it's a tremendous achievement, no question about it.
I know. And I will break down when I have to retire, Nasser.
I thought you said F1 Weekly will keep on going till you get a couple of Coleman buckets.
That's very possible. Yes, no, I will find, you know, a replacement, you know. Let's put it this way. I'm Johnny Carson, and then when I retire, we'll find some young whippersnapper.
We can get Larry Carter to be Jay Leno of podcasting.
That's perfect.
There you go. And, you know, talking of Michael Schumacher, his son, Mick Jr.,
yep.
He moved from karting to car racing.
Yep.
Taking part in the ADAC, German Formula 4 Championship. Won a race on his debut weekend. So, that's congratulations to them.
Fantastic. I mean, you know, that's going to make headlines.
Oh, absolutely.
That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and making headlines by winning a race is never a bad deal.
It's always the best, isn't it?
There you go.
So, no, very interesting. In the race, anything stand out for you in China?
No, in both races, you know, when Lewis Hamilton is leading, my concern has always been, let's hope he does not make a mistake. And the engines are so reliable, the packages are so reliable, you see most of the cars finished. But, you know, sooner or later, he's going to have some issues, and so will Sebastian and also Nico.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, I want to get back to the Red Bull. Now, they've also had some major brake problems that could be masking some of the other engine problems. I know we're blaming everything on Renault, but there's a lot of things we don't know about the design of the car, maybe not being complementary to the Renault package. And since we only have two teams with the Renault package, and both teams are owned by each other pretty much,
yeah,
it's really hard to get to the root cause of everything, because right now we know Adrian Newey is not really involved anymore. You know, he might draw a few sketches for them to improve things, but, you know, he's out in La La Land thinking about the America's Cup. That's the one biggest change at Red Bull, and I think it's affected a whole chain reaction of systems. And it's interesting, now they're having major brake issues where they can't really, you know, they're having brake failure. And Mercedes is having serious brake issues as well. So things are turning around, and I think they're going to go towards Ferrari's way. I think for sure we're going to see Vettel win a race. We possibly may see Kimi Raikkonen, if he stays awake long enough, win a race. But this is going to be interesting, because now we get back to where we belong in Europe. And the Barcelona Grand Prix is going to be exciting. And I can't wait. Europe is where I like to be. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And I believe Fernando will score points in Barcelona.
Yeah, that'll be very, very good. And also good for the local fans there.
Now we have Carlos Sainz Jr., so Fernando has to share.
Yes. And, you know, this Ferrari thing, I am sure they have some more wins coming their way. And I would love to see Renault buy Toro Rosso out from, you know, Dietrich Mateschitz, or maybe, you know, Sauber or some other team, and just bring back Renault as a full-time, you know, racing program. I think that'll be very good. And if they start doing better than Red Bull, then everybody will laugh at Red Bull. Hey, it was not the engine.
No, and you know what? I'm hoping that happens, because then we will see a manufacturer going up against a manufacturer. Renault against Mercedes, which will be exciting.
Yes. And I, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, in the near future, we'll have at least either BMW or I don't think Toyota will come back. They're putting a lot of money in sports car racing and rallying. But it'll be very nice to see BMW come back into Formula One.
We'll see. I don't know. They left Formula One with a bad taste in their mouth. I don't know. That whole fiasco with Sauber and, you know, I don't know, very bizarre. But we'll see what happens. I always want more competition in Formula One. I'd like to see Michelin come back into Formula One. And by the way, I'm sure you heard that François Michelin passed away today.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. This is news to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, it happened, April 29th. Yes, one of the last in the line of Michelins, and there you have it. People forget that there's a family behind that huge name.
Yeah, you remember another Michelin family member was drowned some years ago?
That was very sad.
Yeah.
And I will forward you the Le Monde article, because I find it Very, very fascinating.
Oh, please do.
I'm looking forward to Spain. We've had too much LCH. Let's mix it up. Let's get Fernando back into the loop. And let's not forget the Williams. The Williams are languishing. Why aren't they developing that car around that motor as well as Mercedes is? And second, Williams Martini Racing posted, I believe, a 42 million, I think, pounds loss. So they're not managing this too well.
No, but I was reading in this column, you know, by one of the French journalists, they are saying that a lot of money, the prize money that they earned for 2014 will not be paid till 2015. So the situation may not be as bad as that financial results may show.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't like when you're counting your chickens before they hatch.
Yes.
But it is what it is. It's an interesting financial plan.
Yeah, well, you remember a group some years ago when they were trying to get a slot in Formula One? They were so cute. They were using the projected FIA money, FOM money at the end of the season as one of their assets.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that was like.
I mean, F1 Weekly can get away with stuff like that.
You didn't even try those shenanigans.
Well, you know, F1 Weekly, our finances are peculiar, but sound.
Oh, very sound.
Very sound, yes, very sound.
Sound of a zero.
Yes. The paint is beginning to flake in the office, Nasser.
Zero is a hero.
Yes.
Yes, we have to move on. And I'm getting the impression you think that Barcelona is going to be a non-Mercedes win in your head right now.
I believe it depends on how windy it is. A lot of development comes to the cars when they get to Europe. I expect Williams to perform well. I expect McLaren to take a few steps. And they have to because they're way in the back. But I also expect to see Force India take a few steps forward by Barcelona because they have a good driver package. They're just are struggling a little bit. I expect Felipe Massa to start getting on the podium. Yeah. Where's Valtteri Bottas?
Yeah, the Williams certainly has lost some steam from last season.
Absolutely. I mean, for a while, consistently, they were on the podium. We even had a pole position from Felipe Massa. This year, not so much. So it's strange how a number of teams have taken a few steps back, like Red Bull and Williams, where we expected those steps to be forward.
Yeah, but you know, at least there is some sign of competition from Ferrari. And like you said, you know, we all love a good close competition. So let's see what happens in Spain and Monte Carlo.
Absolutely. Now, I have to admit, I was excited to see our friend Kimi Raikkonen on the podium.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge news all over the world in motor racing business.
Yes, I mean, that was such a huge headline, yet we used to be able to see him consistently on the podium. So it's sort of interesting.
But I think that red car and the red team, Ferrari, is all going to be wrapped around Sebastian Vettel. And I think Sebastian Vettel will have more wins than Kimi this year.
We'll see. This car seems to be suiting Kimi a lot better than it did last year. And the speed of Kimi Raikkonen's Ferrari at the end, those last 10 laps in the Bahrain Grand Prix, was pretty interesting. He was catching Lewis Hamilton. He passed Nico Rosberg. There was some machismo-ness going on there.
Yeah, well, of course. I remember when he was questioning the team, you know, why do you think these tires will be better? Typical Kimi style.
Yes. It's true. And of course, he was disappointed. But still, and Kimi wants to get back to Europe. You know, when he's in Bahrain on the podium, he gets up, his first podium is in Bahrain, where it's not real champagne.
I think he likes rose water also.
No, I think he was pretending to like rose water, but he was pissed because he had forgotten and he took a swig and he went, ugh!
Yeah, well, it will be good to see him in a race. And I have a question for you. Do you think Ferrari should retain him for next season?
Yes. I mean, if he's on the podium consistently, if he starts looking good all the time, and if he takes it to Sebastian Vettel. Don't forget what Ricciardo did to Vettel. Ricciardo looked like Zorro.
Ricciardo did Sebastian Vettel to Sebastian Vettel. That's what he did.
Exactly. If Ricciardo can do it to Vettel, Kimi can. We know he's got the talent.
Known that for several years.
There's always hope, Nasser. Yes. We always have hope for the little people.
Yes, you know, and talking of little people, I like this guy, you know, Maurizio Arriva Bene.
I do like him too. Machismo, yeah. He smokes cigarettes. I mean, I'm feeling good now. This guy's machismo. It's old school. Shut the F up. Get to work. Let's move it.
Yeah, that sounds like him. And, you know, he's not an aristocrat or some high society gentleman like Luca Montezemolo. And nothing wrong with being that. But he, to me, looks like more of the common man from Maranello. Hey, what's the matter?
Exactly. What's the matter, you? Hey. Yeah, he would just fit in fine in the Bronx over in New York.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I like him too. He's a breath of fresh air. Yeah, and I'm really glad that we're done with the Montezemolos. I said for a long time that they needed a reshuffle, some heads rolling at Ferrari. It just took a while, but it finally happened. We knew it would happen. I was hoping that it would be Flavio Briatore over there going chop, 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 bravo, bravo, bravo. But it didn't happen. But nevertheless, it's done. I'm happy as a clam.
Yeah, no, this is good stuff. And, you know, nothing better than starting one of the first few races with victory. And so let's see how it pans out.
Yes, yes. So there you have it. Your thoughts on...
On Clark Rogers?
Yeah. I mean, what do you think of this guy?
I think he's machismo. He is creme de la creme, and he's just a wonderful guy.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, too. You know, that's me and my mirror get along really well.
Yeah.
Yes, so there you have it. Well, I'm really glad you had a great time in Europe, Nasser. I knew that was going to work out. And one day, maybe I'll come along with you.
Please do. Please
You know, I'll cash in some of those U.S. bonds.
There you go.
That I have.
Yes.
And some of that stock I bought at Xerox in 73.
Oh, yeah. And your entire, you know, million-dollar portfolio in Lincoln Savings.
Lincoln Savings. Yes. If I could find it, I will cash it in for sure. So why don't we take a quick break?
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charente region, sipping on cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charente. Opening in June 2012, Bassinon offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassinode is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassinode.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y!
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And as usual, greetings and racing regards. I'm also very happy that GP2 season has started and their first race was in Bahrain. Belgian McLaren contracted driver Stoffel Vandoorne won the feature race on Saturday from pole position. Rio Haryanto from Indonesia was second, and Alexander Rossi from Cali was third. In Sunday's sprint race and in his 70th GP2 start, Mr. Haryanto took his first win in this series. Vandoorne was second and leads the championship with 43 points. 10 points behind in second place is Haryanto, and another 10 points in third is Rossi. And Clark, you remember we talked about this Ferrari contracted driver called... Rafael Marcello, Italian-speaking Swiss.
Right.
He was in GP2 last year, his first year, won a race. But this year, you know, he has to really perform and win more races than anybody. Because as you and I both know, not many people are interested in drivers who win GP2 championship in that third or fourth year.
Correct.
So this will be an interesting thing. And also, you know, IndyCars were in Birmingham, Sweet Home, Alabama, at the Barber Motorsports Park last weekend. Joseph Newgarden, man from Tennessee, took his maiden win. He used to race in GP3 a few years ago, and I'm glad he's racing here because he has done very well on this side of the pond. And the Indy 500 is happening in May, and Connor Daly will also race thanks to Wheeling and Dealing by Papa the ex-F1 driver, Mr. Derek Daly.
Exciting.
So, you know, that's just our brief recap of Motorsports Mondial. I understand you have other stuff in the goodie bag.
Well, of course, and let's not forget the WRC down in Argentina, where Citroën won.
Shocking.
Shocking? They used to win a lot, remember?
Yeah, they used to lobe everybody, right?
They used to lobe everybody. So I was happy about that. Everybody's happy. And, of course, I won the 2015 Snowball Rally. Outstanding job by my crew. So there you have it. And why don't we hear from Tech Talk with Tim?
Hey, race fans. I have a special episode for you today, and I think you'll enjoy it a lot. It's all about F1 sound. We'll talk about what's happening in the power unit, what sound that creates, and then we'll talk about some cool physical phenomena at the end. Modern F1 power units max out at 15,000 revolutions per minute. That means the crankshaft at the center of the power unit, to which all connecting rods and pistons are connected, spins 15,000 times every minute, or 250 times a second. Think about that for a second. That's amazing that the pistons in an F1 engine can go up and down four times as fast as a hummingbird's wings. With six pistons firing and making noise, let's increase the frequency by a factor of six to get to 1500 hertz. That's 1500 pulses per second. I'll play that sound for you right now. Okay, that's way too high pitched. What else is wrong? Well, F1 engines are what are called four-stroke engines, and that essentially means that each cylinder fires every other stroke. So we need to divide by two to account for the strokes that are used only to exhale exhaust gases. Another factor is the engine arrangement. The way the engine is set up, there are two rows of three cylinders, and the rows are spaced 90 degrees apart. Without going into too much detail, that means that the engine sounds as if there are three cylinders firing, with another set of three firing shortly after. That second set adds some complexity to the sound, but it doesn't affect the frequency outright. So let's divide by two again to account for the engine arrangement, which is a V6. So taking into account the four-stroke engine and the engine arrangement, we divide by two twice to get to 375 hertz. I'll play that for you now. Okay, we're getting close, but that sounds like an old video game sound and not an engine. So let's keep the frequency the same, but change the shape of the sound wave. Instead of a nice, pure tone called a sine wave, let's make the sound a little harsher by making it into what's called a sawtooth wave. In this case, the sound waves actually take the shape of sawteeth. This accounts for engine components vibrating and other factors, like they would in real life. I recommend that you look online to see what a sawtooth and a sine wave both look like so you can see the difference. So that's the max theoretical frequency of the engine, but due to fuel flow rates, the engines typically run at a lower RPM. During the onboard views, when the speedometer and tachometer graphics are shown in the corner, you can see that 12,000 RPM is a typical maximum RPM used. So let's reduce our frequency by 20% to account for the 12,000 RPM engine use. And that gives us a 300 Hz sawtooth wave, which I will play now. Just for fun, let's throw in a 2,000 Hz sine wave turbocharger. Okay, now real Formula One sounds are much more rich and complex than that, but that's the best I could do. Especially back in the day, when there were V10 engines, it was especially clear that there were multiple frequencies at play all at once. But this is a good start. Now, unless you've driven a Formula One car yourself, you haven't heard noises like the onboard cams in real life. You've heard cars whizzing by as a fan, and you've no doubt noticed how the frequency is a little bit higher as the car approaches, and then drops as the car speeds away. Here's a little retro V8 sound of a car screaming toward Eau Rouge and rubbing the curb a little bit too. Hopefully you heard that very obvious change in frequency. So what's happening here? Well, the car is emitting pulses of sound that travel in all directions at the speed of sound, which is about 3 times faster than an F1 car at top speed. Think of it like a bubble that expands in all directions from the location where the pulse was made. Since the air is not moving, the bubble expands in all directions evenly, even though the bubble was created by an object that was moving. That's an important concept. The bubbles do not move with the car. The bubbles just grow evenly from the place they were created. To demonstrate this, fill up your sink with water and tap the surface in different places. You'll see that the bubbles don't care that your finger moves between taps. They expand equally fast in all directions from the place they were created. As the car moves toward you, it makes bubbles of sound. But since the car is moving forward, the bubbles are not all centered at the same point. Instead, each bubble gets created a little bit closer toward you. For simplicity, pretend a bubble is made every second. Since the car is coming toward you as it makes bubbles, you won't hear a bubble once a second. Instead, you'll hear the first bubble the car created, and then the second shortly afterward. The second bubble was created a second after the first, but it was created closer to you, so you don't have to wait as long to hear it. Essentially, the bubbles get bunched up in the direction the car is moving, so someone standing there will hear the bubbles at a faster frequency, which produces a higher pitched sound. As soon as the car passes by, you hear bubbles that are created farther apart, so the subsequent bubbles take more time to hit you. This is called the Doppler shift, and you can see some visual demonstrations and images online. Want to take the Doppler shift to the extreme? Imagine a car or a jet traveling at the speed of sound. The jet emits a bubble and travels at the same speed that the bubble expands. So the next bubble that is created starts at the front of the first. Subsequent bubbles get created and the fronts of the bubbles all travel together. This wave, called the shock wave, is a cone that travels with the object and is the result of all the bubbles added up on top of each other. And when those bubbles hit you, it's called a sonic boom, which can shatter glass. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Tim, thanks for another outstanding talk about technology in Formula One. And now, 50 words on the Chinese Grand Prix. Leon Bray says, never thought that the Marshals would be the most entertaining part of a race. Looked like the field had settled down into a pattern with Renault engines providing a few distractions. Felt sorry for Verstappen, who was in the points again before the car let go. Lewis was always in control, and Jensen outdrove Fred until Pastor Maldonado got in the way. Neon Zapper on the Chinese Grand Prix. Tire strategy was the key to China, and Lewis unlocked the door. Ye says the race, when shown as highlights, was more entertaining. The war is back on with the Brackley boys, which is great. Jensen outdrove Fred until Pastor got in the way. Ratham says, boring times, 50. Okay, nice drive to Verstappen. Koala, another boring race. F1 needs to allow teams to develop their cars. Having McLaren and Red Bull down the back of the pack is not good for the sport. We need 4 or 5 teams capable of challenging for the lead. Sounds like he wants a competition caution. Dr. Mark, the traditionally dull Shanghai procession was made even worse by this season's performance differences. Red Bull and McLaren are in for a long season. Will Daniel lose his smile before Fernando starts texting? And from Lewis, in the Netherlands, people are not objective in their opinions towards F1 anymore. Well, they didn't know much about this sport or were interested before, but ask any Dutch guy or girl, do you know a guy called Max Verstappen? He is a soccer player, isn't he? And they will say, no, he drives in a Formula One, and he is going to become champion. Such fun to be an F1 fan in Holland these days. Huh, there you have it. That was from Lewis, and that was on the Chinese Grand Prix. Now let's move over and get into the sands of Bahrain. K.H. Sin says, Hamilton on pole again. Hamilton first again. But what's this? Raikkonen gets second while Vettel tries ever so hard to get past a Williams and fails? Rosberg gets quite racy for a change, but we still see why he's numero dos. Meanwhile, Renault sees the fireworks and decide to join in the fun just on the finish line. Neon Zapper on the Bahrain Grand Prix says, "What a race. Seb and Kimi squeezed Nico at the start, but Seb's uncharacteristic mistake proved costly. Pinball Maldonado was at it again, and despite Massa's car problem, he still managed to get up in the points. Who's more frustrated, Nico or Red Bull?" Lap Traffic says, "Titanium skid plates make for a spectacular show under the lights. Nico cracks under pressure from Kimi. Great to see the Iceman on the podium again." Ratham says, "Great job, Ferrari, applying pressure to the Mercedes. Nice drives, Lewis and Kimi, for a nice 1-2. Let's hope Ferrari make great strides during this 3-week break and make Europe interesting." And Philip Pegler writes, "Soon the church bells of Maranello will be heard across the hills of the Italian countryside as Sebastian and Kimi become perpetual Grand Prix winners. The stars in the house of Berlusconi continue to ascend, and Ferrari are racing back to the front one more time. For whom the bell tolls? It tolls for thee, Nico Rosberg. It tolls for thee." Wow. Well, I can't put it better myself. It does toll for Nico, doesn't it, Nasser?
That is correct.
And I can hear him now. Bong. Bong. So, yeah. Maybe I should start singing Sono le mattine.
There you go. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you. But it is what it is. Nico Rosberg must wake up. And, you know, maybe he could get some sangria and a paella and have a meeting with Fernando. Maybe they could text each other. I don't know. Where's Pedro de la Rosa when you need him?
Exactly.
I want a new pole position. I want somebody else on pole, Nasser.
Yeah, it could be somebody else named Lewis Hamilton.
It might not be. Maybe Renault will have some excitement to bring to the track, and it could be Carlos Sainz Jr.
Oh, that'll be... Well, if this was NASCAR, that would be the result.
Yeah? I'm not sure where you're going with that.
Well, remember when Miss Danica Patrick made her debut in Sprint Cup cars at Daytona?
Yep.
Started from fifth position.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, but I don't know. I just want to show my gratitude to Danica for being a hot babe.
Oh, now she's a hot babe for you?
Yeah, I've been... You know, you see these pictures on the internet now. I just can't help it. So it is what it is. Any predictions for Spain? Go out on the limb a little bit, Nasser.
No, it would be nice if Ferrari can get on the front row, even on pole position, like you said. So I expect the LCH versus Sebastian Vettel battle.
Okay. You think Jenson Button will actually finish the race?
I think so.
Me too. I think they're going to make great strides in Europe. Honda, when Ron Dennis is looking over your shoulder, the pressure's on.
Yeah, I think Honda will get the McLaren will get the first point this race, I think.
I think so too. Yes, it's going to be exciting. More steps forward, and Eric Boullier will have a lot of good things to say.
And I'll tell you what we really need right now. It can happen in Spain. We need a rain race, so let's see who is good in the scenery will not change much, but I'm hoping Max Verstappen can rattle some cages in the downpour. Who knows?
I agree, but I'm also very impressed where Carlos Sainz Jr. certainly hasn't been rattled.
No, he's doing a very good, but you know, he has several years of racing experience, and give this kid a break, you know.
I am. But it's going to be very interesting. Of course, we haven't really spoken about your favorite team, Manor.
Yes.
Who's driving in Spain for Manor?
I'd be surprised if Robert Mary is not driving for them. He's Spanish. And they will bring out their new car, 2015 car, sometime during the European season.
Exactly. That's why I brought it up. I'm excited about that. And, of course, Manor and Robert Mary, which is, I think, this is a great experience for him, but he's still continuing to race in the
World Series.
Yes, 3.5, which is a very nice sounding car, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it sounds like a racing car.
Exactly. So, I tell everybody, go to a World Series by Renault event. They're huge and they're free.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Nasser. An outstanding job once again. Congratulations. I certainly hope that when you greeted Peter Brazier, of course, president of European operations, that you greeted them as a Frenchman would and kissed them on the cheeks.
Wow, that's a little too much, both for Peter and myself.
Really?
Yeah, we're not on that program.
No, but that's called the love.
I'll leave that to you.
All right, we'll have to do it one day. So there you have it, Nass, another outstanding job. I want to thank all the people who listen to the program. Good night.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.